Good morning, brothers and sisters. How are you doing today? Good. It's great to see all of you today. And today I'd still like to share Bible stories that Stephen read to me. I used to read Bible stories to him, and now he's doing more of the job and reading to me. So what really fascinated me was the story of a little servant girl and the proud general, which was recorded in 2 Kings chapter 5. Some of you might have already known or heard that story that I want to tell today. Yes, it is the storytelling of the general, the great general in Israel, Naaman, a commander of the army of Syria. But the hero in my story today is not Naaman, but the little servant girl behind the story. I don't know what her name was, neither was it mentioned in the Bible. The only thing that is imprinted on my memory is that she forgave a person and saved him from death. What was unbelievable to me was that she forgave the person that led an army raid on her home in Israel, the person that killed her whole family, and the person that even carried her off to Syria and made her into his slave. Yes, this is what she did. Isn't that crazy? What the girl did made me feel curious about the power of forgiveness. At the same time, what the girl did also made me desire the power of forgiveness. So that is my topic today. What is behind the power of forgiveness, and how can we obtain that kind of power? Okay. Well, let me introduce a little background first about the story of Naaman. The story happened in a period when king was divided around 800 years BC. In 722 BC, the powerful nation of Assyria invaded the northern kingdom, scattering and taking captive the people of Israel. Only Judah remained intact. But then Assyria suffered a stunning fall to the Babylonians, who took the Assyrian capital of Nineveh in 612 BC. By 605 BC, Babylon dominated Judah, had taken some captives away, and in 586 BC, Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and took additional prisoners into captivity. Many people who were considered valuable to the invaders, such as the prophet Daniel and members of the royal family, were taken to Babylon early on. By the end of Kings, the people of God no longer inhabited their promised land. Many areas of the country had been rendered virtually uninhabitable due to the razing, burning, and other destructive tactics of the Babylonian army. While the people had been enslaved, scattered, and decimated by their enemies. So as I mentioned earlier, Naaman was a commander of the army of Syria. He was a good commander and was held in favor because of the victory that God brought him. Yet Naaman was a leper. He suffered from leprosy. I have no idea what leprosy was, and so I checked it online and got some information. A leprosy is an infectious disease that causes severe, disfiguring skin sores and nerve damage in the arms, legs, and skin areas around the body. The leper's skin turns deathly white and is covered with scales. So one by one, a leper's fingers and toes, hands, feet, arms, and limbs decay until death comes. The disease has been around since ancient times, often surrounded by terrifying negative stigmas and tales of leprosy, patients being shunned as outcasts. At that time, there was no cure for leprosy. It never went away. So if you got it, so in the end, it killed you. So you can't imagine how desperately Naaman needed help. Now there was this little girl, this little slave girl, who was kept by Naaman as a slave. But she knew someone who could help Naaman. But the problem was that Naaman was the enemy because he killed her whole family. Why would she, of all people, want to help Naaman? Didn't she hate him and want to hurt him back? Didn't she want to make him pay for the wrong he'd done? That's probably what we would expect. But instead of hating him, she loved him. Instead of hurting him back, she forgave him. She said to her mistress, "I want Naaman to get well." So she told her mistress that there is a man in Israel called Elisha who can heal him. When the mistress told Naaman what the girl said, he did not hesitate and hurried off to Israel. In the end, he did exactly what Elisha told him to, that is, bathing himself in the river of Jordan for 7 times. And when he got out of the water for the 7th time, his skin became smooth like a baby. So he got healed. You see, the very sick man got healed, all because of a little servant girl who forgave him. Okay. So after reading the story, I began to think about the question, what is it that made the girl forgive Naaman? Now, how can you forgive someone that killed all the people you love? That was crazy to me, and that was radical. I thought and thought, can I do that? No, absolutely not. Never, ever will I forgive anyone that does harm to any of my family members, because it's simple. I love my family. I love each of them. And they are the only ones that care about me, really. What about you, brothers and sisters? Sisters, can you forgive people like Naaman? Well, let me put it this way. Is there anyone in your heart that you can't forgive or you failed to forgive in the past? So who comes to your mind when I raise this question to you? Why can't you forgive him or her? Well, I thought about the people that I cannot forgive. I thought as far as I could, and the list is long. I couldn't forgive my deskmate back in my senior high school because he said I was a dumbbell, that I couldn't do anything well. But the bad thing at that time was that I thought he was right, and I took it to my heart. It was just that I got a lower grade than he did in math's exam. Then I thought, well, he was correct. I was not as good as he did. Actually, I never got a higher grade than he did in math's. That's probably why I thought he was right. I couldn't forgive my roommate when I went to college because as my friend, he voted for my opponent when I was running for the member of the class committee. Yes, we also vote. We also voted, and that one was serious. I couldn't forgive my colleague when I worked after graduation, because she brought a lot of trouble to me. And I thought she was kind of mean and picky. I couldn't forgive my wife because she ordered me around at home, and because she didn't understand me, and because she didn't consider my feelings, and left me alone in the living room for days. Though I tried to start a conversation, she paid no attention to me. I couldn't forgive Stephen because he didn't want to do what I told him to. Even though I told him that this is good for you, this is what you should do, what you're supposed to do. Okay. And because I couldn't forgive him because he interrupted me while I was at work. And just now I told him, Stephen, I would preach this morning. Would you please be quiet a little bit? Thank you. And he said, yes. And I don't know when he's going to jump up, show up and ask me to do that. I said, this is important to me. He didn't seem to take it. He just thought he was the center. Okay. So it took me a lot of efforts to let him know that you're not the only one. There are people in the world, and we need to care about them. We need to pay our respect to them by being silent, by making them do whatever they need to do at hand. So I couldn't even forgive myself because I kept throwing tempers and I couldn't stay concentrated on my work. That was me. I had a work from the school, coursework. I had YouTube videos to watch. I had social media to spend some time on. It's a lot of things. So the list could go on and on. I think hearing my account, you might have felt how sinful I was. Wow, was that you, Henry? Well, you can't judge a book by its cover, can you? But I didn't realize this until I accepted Jesus as my Lord. And I didn't realize this until I began to know more about him. And I began to know more about what he did in the Holy Bible. Thank Lord for forgiving me, and thank Lord for choosing me. You see, when I couldn't forgive my deskmate in the senior high school or in the college, when I couldn't forgive my colleague and even my family members, I had everything in my heart except one essential element. I had everything in my heart. Pride, selfishness, anger, impatience, cynicism, jealousy, and laziness, except one essential element. What is that essential element? And that element is love. So when I don't have love in my heart, Jesus is not with me, I know. As it said in the 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, which reads, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In 1 Corinthians, it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Well, these verses tell me clearly why I can't forgive. I thought about the people that I couldn't forgive again, and found out that what I lacked was pretty obvious. It was the time when I was envious, impatient, and when I insisted on my own way without thinking about others, just like when I worked with Steve and I told him, you should do this, you should do that. No, Dad, I don't want to do this. I want to play. You need to work on this. No, that's not the way it is. And then I tried some other different ways. It worked differently. So it was the time I stopped believing in others, bearing things, and stopped hoping. That's why I couldn't forgive. I failed to forgive so many times. When I read the Bible or listened to our brothers preach, I got to know that God sent his only son to forgive us by dying on the cross to pay for all our sins. So what have I done to deserve the grace of this magnitude? Jesus has already set such a good example for us. As God's children, why can't we model ourselves on him? Some might say, it's Jesus, we're not him, and it's hard to be like him. What about the story of Joseph that Nick preached the week before last week, when Joseph's brothers were terrified by thinking about what they had done to Joseph? And then Joseph said to them, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. So instead of taking revenge, Joseph chose to forgive his brothers. I don't know what kind of strategies you have to help you to forgive people that either make you feel angry or ever hurt you, what you have done or want to do in your life to forgive others. I have tried the following ways, and it seems to be working on me. Here, I need to give credit to Tony, as he coached me on this. I made a lot of complaints in front of him, not about him, but about my people, my family, mostly about family, you know, things. Okay. My way of working out is when at the edge of blowing up, I refrained myself from speaking for some time. Within this period of time, I prayed and asked God for help and let him work through me to handle the situation before me. I put myself in the shoes of the other person and tried to listen to his or her thoughts. If it is full of love, I learn to appreciate it. And if it is not, I will empathize with him or her. In the end, I will pray for him or her. Now, let me say it again. I paused for a little while within this period of time. Then I pray for God's help. Then I empathize with him or her. In the end, I pray for him or her. Now, let me share with you a story of how I felt the power of forgiveness worked through me. In the recent couple of weeks, I woke up at around 7:30 in the morning. This was almost never possible for me, especially during the vacation, because I worked a bit late at night. And Stephen normally gets up at a little bit over 6 and then involves himself in making his paper craft. I'm very thankful to that. because normally this would give me and my wife another 2 to 3 hours to sleep. Well, I can't imagine how long I have slept. Now I get up at around 7:30, and this morning like around 8. And I turn off the alarm clock. I know it happened quite often. You can't imagine what kind of efforts that I made to make this happen, to get up at around 7:30 or 8. When we finish our breakfast at 8, I mean, Stephen and I, we would go for a walk in the playground in front of a school, Gilbert Lincoln's Elementary School. And Stephen normally rode a scooter and followed me. So after walking for about an hour, we would head home. On our way back home, there's a big down slope that Stephen really liked as he would release the brake of his scooter and darted down the slope. He felt it was cool to do so. And that day, he went down the slope as usual, but due to the strong wind, his hat fell off. And immediately he turned his head backward without realizing that he was still fast on the scooter. What was worse was that he stepped one of his feet off the scooter, but it was already too late and too far away from me to do anything for help. And secretly, I thought it was not bad because that was an opportunity for him to learn not to scoot that far that fast. I told him again and again that it never worked. So at that speed, you know what could happen. Yes, he fell off the scooter heavily, face down and hands down, and his whole body down. Okay, it was a really heavy fall. Right at that moment, his crying pierced the morning sky. So I hurried forward to check up on him. I found that both of his knees were broken, but not bleeding. So I knew that it was not that serious at all. I cannot even believe that I almost laughed at that time because I thought the way he got up, he managed to get up and cried was a little hilarious to me. Okay, what kind of dad I am. All right. So I knew that it was not that serious at all. It was just really painful. Then he started to use whatever words he could to blame me for his unexpected fall while crying. I think maybe that was because he saw my little smiling face. And then he yelled, "It's all because of you. You're so bad and you never really care about me. You laugh. You're not my dad and I don't want to see you anymore." Those words. Okay, not for once. He kept saying those words again and again on our way back home. And I kept listening and listening, and I supported him to walk home. That was definitely not me in the past. Upon opening the door, he rushed to his mom and cried his heart out. I did what I mentioned above, keeping silent, praying to God, and I knew how it felt to suffer from that fall, and I also prayed for him. After his mom rubbed some disinfectant over the cut, he went to his own room, and I sat in my seat doing my work. It was about 10 minutes or so into it. Then Stephen did what was most impressive to me throughout my life. He approached me and hugged me tightly and burst into tears again this time. And this time he said, "I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Dad. I put it all on you on purpose. I'm sorry." Kept saying these words. He liked repeating things. At that moment, my heart was melted. That moment was so valuable to me that I would not trade it with anything. It really came to me as a big surprise that Stephen began to understand things. But I never thought it would come this way and this early. Praise Lord. This, in my eyes, is my way to forgive my son. And compared with what I would do in the past, I didn't think that was exactly what a good dad was supposed to do. I am now trying to apply my way of forgiving to my wife. Yes, it was not once, twice, maybe a couple of times, many times. I think the miracles were probably that she also practiced forgiving on me. I can hardly say how many times I was right or she was right. It's hard to argue this out. It's hard to convince her that I was right. No way. So, and it's hard for me to recognize my faults as well. So she must have practiced forgiveness on me. I can't remember for how long I haven't been left alone in the living room. And I would keep doing it when needed. I mean, keep forgiving. But at least now I felt that I love her more than before because I saw what she had done for me and I knew that was out of love. But in the past, I saw something different. Yeah, that filled me with complaints, yes, negative feelings. Okay. And back to the story I told at the very beginning of my sermon, I seem to have got the answer for why the unnamed girl could forgive Naaman, even though she had suffered wrong. Her whole family was killed by Naaman, yet she had a kind heart, and that heart is full of love and full of sorrow for her master Naaman. She modeled herself on Jesus, who showed enormous grace to the people who wronged him and even persecuted him. He still loved people to the extent that he would die for their sins. People let us down, but Jesus never will. Jesus is God in the human form. He created us, sustains us, and offers us eternal life. His faithful love is always there for us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Anyway, that is my way of working this out. Well, this is just me. If it doesn't work for you or nothing works for you, don't lose your heart. Just read this verse from Romans 12, verse 17 to 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "It is mine to revenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for loving us to the extent that you would forgive all our sins, and you would cleanse our sins and die on the cross. You made us see your heart, your golden heart. You made us realize this enormous grace, and we don't deserve it all. Lord, please fill our hearts with spirit and with your law, with your grace, and guide us through all our actions, through whatever we do in our life, especially when we are weak and when we are occupied by Satan. And be with us and lift us up and make us really powerful. Right? And please give us strength to forgive people and to forgive their debts, just the way you have forgiven our sins and our debts. Lord, we know we don't deserve this, but you have chosen us, and please give us this power to live the way of you, to demonstrate to the world how great you are. We would love to give all our love and heart to you. So we pray the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.